Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. We live in a time where pretty much anything you need can come right to your door, at least if you live in a big city like New York or San Francisco. For startups and app developers, the buzzword this year has been on demand. Whether it's driving services like Uber, groceries that come right to your door, on-demand laundry, or someone who will even come over to the house to change a light bulb, the proliferation of these services has created what we call the convenience economy. It's a trend that hasn't quite made it to Kansas City yet, but some think it's not too far away. Joining us to discuss the pros and cons of this phenomenon are Christy Lejeune. She's deputy editor for Philadelphia Magazine. You can see her very good article about this topic, Deliver Me, at phillymag.com. And Christy, nice to have you. Good morning.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Also here to discuss why this trend hasn't blown up yet in Kansas City is Blake Miller. He's a partner and director of the accelerator at Think Big Partners, which helps startups in the area develop and grow. He's also an avid app user. He gave up his car 7 months ago and doesn't regret it a bit. Blake, nice to have you. Welcome.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks, Steve.
Well, Christy, I was absolutely salivating at the prospect of all these conveniences coming to Kansas City someday soon. Tell us what types of services you can get in Philly these days.
Well, you know, the reason we decided to do the piece was because it seems like you can really get almost anything delivered, either, you know, between local businesses and between national businesses. So there's, you know, freshly baked cookies within an hour to your door, eyeglasses from, you know, Warby Parker sort of hit it big a couple of years ago. Now we have some local guys who are also delivering, you know, five or six pairs of eyeglasses. You try on, you keep the ones you want, you send back the ones you don't. You never have to leave your house. We have delivery craft beer. We have delivery baby Advil, you know, medicines, groceries, ice cream.
You want a new dress? You can get a new dress, right?
Yeah, you can get a new dress either on a subscription basis. So say you want new clothes once a month, they can send you a whole box of new clothes once a month. Again, keep what you want, send back what you don't, or you can do it just in a one-shot deal. And you just enter in all your preferences, your sizes, all sorts of like specifics online. And now there are lots of companies who do this, but we have a few local ones who are doing this now, local boutiques. And then, of course, there are some big national chains that are doing this, too.
Christy,
it's amazing.
How quickly have these services sprouted up in Philadelphia?
I would say we've really noticed an influx over the past couple years. I don't know if it sort of really did start with Uber, which is sort of our joke, you know, suddenly everybody, you know, wants to Uber themselves and and get you your ride or what have you on demand. But yeah, I'd say that just the past couple of years, the development of apps has gotten just, you know, sort of proliferated and everybody has their smartphone. And, I think people are seeing that, you know, that we will pay for convenience to a certain extent. So I just think it's really like shot up.
You know, Blake, you were saying before the show that you see the world changing and changing very quickly here. Tell me what you're thinking.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we've been in a very linear progressed world since the Industrial Revolution, right? We've continually, one domino would fall, then the next, then the next. In 2007, when the iPhone came out, really the innovation of the smartphone, bringing together the internet, bringing together sensors that collected a lot of data, bringing together a platform that made it really easy for other people to build on top of that, has really put the world into this digital world. And it's an exponential world. It's growing faster than anybody can ever even comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just see a world where, you know, it's not even just buying convenience. It's buying my time back. Even if that time means I get to sit on my couch with, you know, with my boxers on and just watch TV, then great. That's what I get to do with the time that I just bought back. It's the one thing that nobody can ever get back.
Mm-hmm. It's a sharing economy. Tell us about your decision to give up your car and why you did that and how it's worked out for you. Because you said you did it 7 months ago.
Did it at the beginning of this year, yeah.
You don't regret it for a second?
I don't at all. No, and frankly, I was terrified to do it. You know, I had always associated driving with freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't wait to get my car when I turned 16. And then, you know, then the world changed. I had access to everything out of my car. It was awesome. And, you know, when I moved downtown in 2008, 2009, I was, you know, I'm ashamed to admit it, I was driving two or three blocks. But that was the culture that we live in here in Kansas City and kind of this Midwestern town where, you know, many people say, like, this is the invention of the suburbs, thanks to J.C. Nichols, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was changing that culture and realizing, like, I cannot believe I'm spending almost $1,000 a month to own a vehicle that at the time, and granted, now my job is downtown, my apartment is downtown. So
it's a bit of a nice car, Blake, for $1,000 a month.
Well, when you add everything together, right?
Yeah,
you got
sure.
depreciation, you
of
got
course.
Service, you got maintenance, you got parking,
mm-hmm.
you've got your insurance, all these other things that kind of add up. And when you really kind of put pen to paper and you realize, like, holy crap,
mm-hmm.
I'm spending so much money on something that me personally, I wasn't really using that much.
Mm-hmm.
In the course of about 10 months, I put about 3,000 miles on a vehicle. That's like nothing. That's
mm-hmm.
People do that in a week right now, right?
And so now you Uber it.
I Uber or I walk everywhere. And, you know, sometimes I use even Z-Trip. It just a matter of depending on what I'm doing at that time.
Z-Trip is what?
Z-Trip is more of a kind of a black car service on demand. So what I find unique about them is when I know, like, maybe I'm going out and I assume then, and I'll use, you know, St. Patrick's Day as an example, I knew that there was going to be Uber surge pricing. Furthermore, you're probably going to have to wait a little bit longer. And I knew that I was going to want to get somewhere at, you know, 11 o'clock at night. So I just booked it and I had it like booked and they showed up right at 11 o'clock mm-hmm. and I was on my way. I paid a little bit more for that, but I paid even more for that convenience of not even having to wait
yeah.
and get surge pricing.
Well, we're talking about, you know, Uber here, but Christy, you know, we began our conversation by talking about all these convenience apps. Philadelphia is exploding with them. It's coming to Kansas City, but why is it not here yet, Blake?
You know, I think a lot of it is our sprawl. We're 319 square miles of a city, right? And
yeah.
and for a lot of these companies to become truly successful, it's density and the clusters of people around it.
Good point. But,
you know, I don't think that it's necessarily not come here yet. It's just the people using it and realizing what the opportunities are. And I think it doesn't even stop at just like the Uberification of everything or, you know, Instacarts of the world and Postmates and Seamless and all these things. I mean, I use Amazon for literally everything. Amazon subscribe and saves. That's a hard word. Subscribe and save for literally everything that,
yeah.
Like bare essential wise for my every day to day living, everything from toilet paper to the toothpaste, toothbrushes that just show up at my door on basically a matter of a time schedule that because I've been using it so long that I've basically figured out the amount of time that I use each one of these items and they just show up in my next shipment.
That's
and I actually save a bunch of money for doing so.
Mm-hmm. Christy, how much are your friends' lives changing out there as the result of all of this sudden convenience that's sprouting up everywhere?
You know, I think pretty significantly. I think that's partly because I'm in one of the key demographics for a lot of these services. So like, you know, youngish professionals with kids. They sort of market themselves to a lot of the times empty nesters or like senior citizens and then people in my age bracket who have the job and have the kids and then even young professionals who are just working around the clock and, you know, who grew up in an era where you didn't think anything of, say, sending out your laundry.
Mm-hmm.
So my friends, especially the ones who have children at home and who have a job, I mean, you know, really have taken to services like Instacart or Peapod, which is a grocery delivery service for just to, you know, cut down that weekly or biweekly grocery trip. And the delivery fees are fairly small, depending on which service you use. So I think for a lot of people, it feels like sort of a no-brainer, like a godsend, depending on who you talk to.
Yeah, I was going to say, from reading your article was just terrific in phillymag.com. You can go read it there. What really surprised me about it was I just sort of assumed that the cost of these services would be beyond the reach of, you know, a whole lot of people, and they are for our population, but the fees weren't that much. I mean, we're talking about a few bucks on an order of groceries, and I somehow thought it'd be 30 or 40 bucks, but it's not that.
No, it's not. And you know, it used to be. I mean, I wrote an article about how it's kind of like the luxuries that used to be, you know, exclusively for the very rich have been a little bit more democratized. And you know, I try to be careful because obviously this is not for everyone. You know, I say in the story, if you're trying to figure out how to pay for groceries, then you're not going to be tossing $5 on top of it to have them delivered. But for, you know, for a lot of people in the middle class, a lot of people who, you know, don't consider themselves to be big spenders or overly, you know, ready to shell out for luxuries, this is like the cost benefit analysis of, you know, what is my time worth? My time with my kids? And do I want to take a 2-year-old to the grocery store? Not really. So,
as Blake said, you're buying your time back. I thought that was just a great line. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is it worth $6 to you? Yeah. Is it worth $10 to you? Maybe. You know, I had one night wine delivered to my house and I paid an extra $8. That's very extravagant for me, but it sure did feel good. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty exciting to have the wine brought to my house. So,
Kirstie, I was wondering if the market in Philadelphia is saturated yet. I mean, you listed more than 1,000 apps in your article that are available in Philadelphia. I mean, that's a lot of services.
Yeah. You know, saturated is tricky because, I mean, I think so many of these are very, very specific things. You know, there's a lot of them are very specific. So, you know, the one or two places that do the cookies, the one or two places that do the eyeglasses. The only market that I wonder would get saturated would be the grocery delivery services. And so far, those seem to be on the upswing. Everybody is into the Instacart, and they're into, I think, Giant's delivery service is called Peapod. You have Amazon Fresh, and you have Door-to-Door Organics, which is a local sort of CSA-style delivery one. I haven't seen saturation yet. I do wonder about the workforce. Mm. It seems like they'll be sort of maybe if there's a bubble happening, it's going to be that a lot of these, the people who are the deliverers and who are working this sort of on-demand, you know, job situation, I don't know if that will hold out over time. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the big question right now.
Well, Robert Reich points out in your article, the former labor secretary, he says, hey, this works well now when employment's still a little bit shaky. But if we gear up and employment situation improves a whole lot, what happens to this whole convenience economy? He suggests it might blow up.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't think anyone knows for sure. I think a lot of the people we talk to who are, you know, the Uber drivers and the Instacart grocers, that you know, the delivery people, they seem to like the flexibility. They seem to like the ability to sort of set their hours, and you know, have the give and take that job affords them. A lot of people do it as a second job, but you know, the flip side of that is, no health insurance and maybe some unpredictability and. You know, maybe not as steady a stream of revenue as other jobs afford. So, I think that's sort of a question.
Blake, hang on. I'm going to just get our listeners involved here. If there was one thing you'd like to have an app for so it could come directly to you, what would it be? Give us a shout, 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. You know, you mentioned before, Blake, this idea that Kansas City is so spread out. Maybe that's why this convenience economy hasn't arrived here in as full a force as it has in Philadelphia. But do you see it coming eventually?
Yeah, I definitely do. And, you know, we were just sitting here talking about, you know, the trends of, you know, is the workforce there for it? And will that happen? I mean, I think, you know, the numbers that I look at come from, you know, we own a co-working space downtown. And you know, by many accounts, depending on who you look at, like 45% of the workforce is predicted to be, you know, a freelancer of some kind, or the 1099 economy, if you will, by 2020. That's a huge number of the workforce. And so we're sitting here talking about on-demand, you know, whatever to my door. But let's flip that conversation around and say this is actually on-demand work. And I think the way people are working is changing rapidly, faster than we'd ever can even comprehend.
Yeah.
People don't want to work for major corporations that much anymore. There's a major shift to that. People want to be able to kind of work on their own time, and they have the ability to do so with the technology advances that are happening. So, you know, when it comes to workforce, I definitely think that we're kind of on that upward trend on it to see where it's going. And it's because I do believe, and I see it all the time, the freelance economy is thriving and the gig economy is thriving.
That's
interesting. And so the ability for somebody to just say, you know what, I'm driving back home, back out south from downtown Kansas City, I'm going to go and flip on the app and pick up an extra $20. It starts to change the economy and how people are able to then spend better in the future. And I get that that's an optimistic view, but, you know, I see it happening. I'm I'm friends with those people.
You know, Christy, for folks of a certain age, you know, maybe I'm including myself in this, but this idea that this is complicated or difficult to navigate, you know, I just got an Uber app on my phone not long ago, and I've seen people use these things. It's incredibly easy. And can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I think that this is the challenge that a lot of these companies face. And I think some have, you know, met them head on very successfully, and some, you know, need work. I think grocery delivery, you know, for somebody who wasn't born in the technology era and has, you know, had to maybe work a little harder than like millennials to learn how to use some of this new technology. I think that for those people, it can be daunting to go online to a website or on your phone and figure out how to put in the grocery orders. But for the most part, like the Uber app, for the most part, they are fairly intuitive. Like literally you're looking at a page that has pictures of groceries on it and you put, you know, you click on the things you want.
Right.
So, I think probably certainly the best services are intuitive enough that, you know, spending a little time on the sites, on the apps would get you what you need. And most of them have support lines and those kinds of things. And the best part for me, I think one of the things that I find to be incredibly convenient is there's follow-up. You know, again, just like Uber, a lot of these services, when you make your order, you get a text and it says, well, you just ordered this. You can track our driver. And so then it's, you know, your driver will be here in 5 minutes.
Yeah. And I was just going to say that. I mean, we were talking earlier, but is there too much saturation? There's too many going on. And I think what we're seeing here is you're going to see the companies that win are the ones that not only have an amazing user experience, but they have a great service. And then they also help catalyze their own community. So whether you need something or it's just a couple taps away or whatever it is, they're trying to really truly offer this concierge level feel of an experience. And the ones that are going to win are the ones that make you feel special every time you open up that application, every time you interact with their companies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where many companies are going in today's world. It's the, you know, whether it's the big telcos to whoever it is, it's the ones that have bad customer service are the ones that are always talked about as being the evil companies.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that have tremendous customer service, they make people feel good all the time. They're the ones that people tell their friends about, you've got to be using this, you've got to be doing this.
Yes, yes.
And it's because I feel good every time I interact with them.
Mm-hmm. And Christy, when we're talking about these grocery store apps, we're not just talking about people who say, hey, it's 10 o'clock at night and I want a pint of Ben and Jerry's, although that's part of this. We're also talking about people who are saying, I don't want to go to the grocery store this week or next week or the week after. I'm going to order all my stuff. And the range falls in between those two extremes, right?
Correct. Yeah. And a lot of time it falls in the middle. I mean, what they told when I called Instacart to report this story, you know, what one of the high ups at Instacart said to me was a lot of their business are people who want sort of the stopgap grocery runs. So maybe not like the giant Saturday, this is everything I'm doing all week run, but like the middle of the week, we need eggs, we need milk, we need maybe, 10, 15, 20 little things. And, you know, it's a Wednesday and I don't have time. So they get a lot of that sort of middle range. But no, they see everything from like full orders to, the 10 p.m., you know, I want my gallon of milk right now.
Hey, how long does it take to get the stuff once you've ordered it? How long does it take?
Well, they have it to you. They can have it to you by the next day, or you can pay. Well, in this case, I'm talking about Instacart, which is one of the big ones. But so you can do by the next day, which is their regular service, or you can pay an extra $4 for 2 hour delivery, or $6 for 1 hour delivery.
Huh.
So I've had my groceries brought to me within 2 hours. And so what they do is they charge you a service fee for their grocer.
Which is how much, roughly?
I want to say it depends on how many groceries, but I want to say between $6 and $10.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want it within the 1 hour, they'll charge you, the extra $6 for that. And then some of the groceries, and this is with Instacart, they don't all operate the same way, but with Instacart, some of the groceries have a very slight markup. Although that even seems to change day to day. Last I read a story saying that they were going to try to get rid of some of the markups.
Mm-hmm.
But so, you know, if it might be a couple pennies, it might be 5 cents, it might be 10 cents. And some items don't. That's between Instacart and the grocery store. So
yeah,
you do end up paying a little more. And that depends on what groceries you're getting and how many you're getting. But generally speaking, when I have ordered from Instacart, it's cost me probably an extra 10 bucks on top of what I would have already spent.
What would your gas and parking or whatever, you know, maybe you don't have to pay for parking, but what would your gas cost alone?
Well, I would have. Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, in Philly, Philly's such a very compact city, which to your point, you know, earlier, Blake, is part of the reason that the city's been so desirable for all of these delivery places. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I were to drive, I certainly would have to pay to park. It would probably be $2.50, maybe $3. And then gas would be probably negligible. But most of the time I would walk, and walking and carrying 3 bags of groceries, you know, that's a time commitment and that's not the most pleasant chore.
But to your point, Blake, there is even hearing Christy talk about this, there's a clear distinction here between Philadelphia and Kansas City, compact city, you know, parking issue, all that stuff exaggerated there compared to what we have here.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, obviously I'm very optimistic about Kansas City. I think we're growing very, very rapidly, and there's a lot of things to be proud about in Kansas City, a lot of things that we still need to fix, and there's a lot of things to fix. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. I look at problems all day long.
Yeah.
But when you look at what's happening downtown, we've been 21,000 people living, you know, almost 0% vacancy since like 2011, 2012.
Yeah, it's amazing.
5,000 to 6,000 apartment units that are going to come online by 2017, 2018, somewhere in there. And that's just what's announced. That's just what we know about. I know of so many other people that are looking at other projects. There's so much opportunity going on downtown. And when you look at just that 5,000 to 6,000 apartment units coming in, like that could be another 8,000 to 10,000 people that make the densification of downtown even better, which at the very least we have a urban core where some of these services can thrive. But if you look at the rest of these other little cities popping up around Kansas City, whether you go out to the Legends or you go out south or even up north or whatever, there's a lot of little clusters of things happening where this is starting to make a lot more sense. And, you know, Kansas City has a lot of money. There's not a lot of people talk about that. You know, from the entrepreneur community, there's no money in this town. Well, actually, no, there's a lot of money. It's about being an investable company. But there's a lot of that opportunity where there's a lot of people that want these types of services. They want to get their time back because they spend a lot of time in vehicles commuting all the time.
Yeah, let me get some more comments from our listeners. Kansas City, are you ready for this convenience economy or not? Give us your 2 cents, 816-235-2888, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. A listener emailed this thought, not to be a Luddite, but at the end of the day, the smartphone and its apps will not save the world, and someone will still be needed to sweep the factory floor. All of this convenience delivery relies on petroleum products, which we all know will not always be cheap, Christy.
Well, that's true. That's true. Although we actually have a lot of bike, totally, totally fair point. I completely agree. We do have a lot of bike delivery people in Philadelphia also. A lot of them are exclusively bike delivery. So that at least helps with the carbon footprint. But no, I share the concern. I mean, there are a lot of small, small and large concerns with the delivery economy, the convenience economy.
Yeah, what really cracked me up in talking in your article of people who are using the grocery store apps, one of the most high in-demand items were people wanting fresh bananas, that were yellow, not too brown, not too green. They wanted bananas for the next day's cereal. You found that to be true, Christy?
I know. Isn't that weird?
Yes.
I had never heard such a thing. I mean, we interviewed, I think that was an Instacart shopper who said that. And she said that was one of her most popular requests, which is so weird. But, you know, they train. Instacart puts money into training their shoppers. And they honestly go through like a couple hour training just to familiarize themselves with the grocery store and like how to pick the best produce. And I mean, it's kind of a well-oiled machine over there right now. You know, they do, to Blake's earlier point, make you feel special. They're so nice when they drop off your groceries. And if they don't have one of the items that you asked for, they will call you on your cell phone and say, would you like Coca-Cola instead of Pepsi, for instance? And so, you know, they seem to sort of understand the the concierge part of the concierge service. And I don't work for Instacart, so.
The convenience economy is our topic. Our number, 816-235-2888. Buck from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
I just wanted to say I have started with a grocery service that delivers basically a box to the house once a week. And it includes pretty much everything you need to make your meals, plus full-color recipe cards, instructions, and it's all refrigerated, so it can sit out on the patio or the porch, you know, if you're not there to receive it the day it shows up, or, you know, the moment it shows up.
What's it called, Buck?
But it's called Blue Apron, but it's basically it's a service where, you know, if you need three radishes for some recipe, they're going to send you three radishes, or if you need, you know, two scallions or whatever, it's really changed the way, at least for me, you know, a lot of the ingredients that you get are things that you probably wouldn't keep on hand. They are not normal. I'm going to keep a big giant bottle of red wine vinegar or Japanese rice wine or something like that. But it's really gotten me having more fun in the kitchen and starting to learn how to cook things.
But does the spread out nature of Kansas City, does that inhibit you at all from wanting to launch this business?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Does the spread out nature of Kansas City inhibit you at all from wanting to start a convenience type of business like this?
No, I'm not starting anything. I guess I misunderstood your question.
Oh.
I'm just commenting that this is a service that I've started enjoying.
Oh, I see. I got you.
And just the nature of, you know, I still go to the grocery store. I still go and pick up things, but it's, you know, for the cost of not going out to a restaurant, I get to kind of stay home and play with the ingredients as they're sent to me.
And probably cook a meal that you've never cooked before.
Exactly.
And probably have better portion control than you've ever had before, and you're learning something new.
Yeah.
Right. And we've talked about that. You know, it's not, we don't feel overly stuffed. We don't feel like, oh man, I'm still hungry. It's just, it's an exactly portion controlled. I mean, if you need things like butter or, you know, any of the little knick-knack type things that go into making that meal,
right?
It's all included, and it's just, it's been really, it's enjoyable. It's fun to learn to cook again and under kind of no pressure situation.
I got to scoot down the road here. Buck, I'm glad you called. Thank you. And Marilyn from Kansas City, Missouri, welcome to the show.
Ah, thank you, Steve. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to let you know that we are not in the demographic of the younger age group.
That's okay. That's okay, Marilyn.
But we do use an online grocery service with organic fruits and vegetables. And I didn't hear what your previous caller just said, but they do feature recipes. And we order it it's not an app on the phone, or I don't know how to do that, but we use it through a PC or a tablet.
Hmm.
And every week we can get a delivery and we can specify what we want. And I was amused when Christy said people want bananas that are ripe. you know, that is true. And this local firm is able to bring it to the door with pretty good success. If they can't fill something, they send me a note, they solicit feedback, and there's profiling.
Mm-hmm.
So you tell them no cilantro or whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a boon for, it's a supplement for various services and going out. And they even now feature pre-cooked meals, which is kind of nicer to supplement.
Oh, that's,
I
like that too.
Have.
So, well, Marilyn, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. And Christy, you wrote in your article, and I wanted to get to this point, you wrote this, and yet every delivery, I can't shake a vague discomfort with this easy new on-demand world. And then you asked, but why? And that's my question. Why? What's behind that guilty feeling you're talking about there?
You know, I think that some of it is the way in which I was raised, probably a lot of us were raised, this sort of old you know, the Protestant work ethic. And if it feels too easy, it feels weird. And, you know, spending hard-earned money to pay somebody to do something I could theoretically do myself, you know, I can hear my dad's voice in my head when I when I pay $6 to have somebody, you know, bring me milk and eggs and you know, flour for the week.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a little bit of, for me, a little bit of convincing that goes on, kind of doing the mental math that is like, okay, well, time does count for something and time has a value.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily like my natural inclination. I don't know that that's the case of sort of the people who are coming up after us. You know, I think that maybe the younger generations come to that realization a little bit more easily. But for me, yeah, it came with a little bit of, throwing money at someone to do something I just don't feel like doing.
A listener, Christy, tweeted us to ask the name of the wine delivery service app again.
I've used Instacart for wine.
And we don't have Instacart in Kansas City
not
yet, do we? Not yet. Okay. All right.
They've grown.
Are you listening, Instacart? Are you listening?
Yeah, absolutely. Sharon from Leawood, one final call here in this segment. Sharon, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that I have a son in college out of state. And just because I'm such a good mother, I used to send him care packages. And I derived a lot of pleasure picking things out that I thought he would like and sending him these care packages. And one day he said to me, you know, Mom, I really like the care packages, but what would be a lot better for me, what I'd really like more, is for you to just get online. And he gave me the app and he said, just order me some groceries, because he doesn't have a car in the dorm and he'd much rather have fresh produce and other things. And so that's what I've been doing. And I have to say, he's much happier. I'm sad because I love the process of picking out things for him and sending him the package. It seems very impersonal to me, but he's much happier and he's getting what he wants. So it's a whole different market for college kids who are in a dorm and don't have transportation.
Well, Sharon, thank you for that. And I guess maybe that's a way to end this segment of our show here, talking about the convenience economy. The world is changing, folks. Hang on and go along with it. I want to thank Christy Lejeune, deputy editor for Philadelphia Magazine. Again, her article on this topic, just go to phillymag.com. The article is titled Deliver Me. Christy, you were just a delight. Thanks so much.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And Blake Miller, our partner and director of the Accelerator and Think Big Partners. Blake, you were great, too. Thanks so much for your time.
Pleasure was all mine. Thank you.